Okay, John chapter 15. Do we have any praise reports? Any prayer requests? Okay. In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking here. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he casteth away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Now, that's Jesus talking about our fellowship with him. The way we abide in him, we get in his word and we read his word. And there's some special things that's going to happen when you do that. Not only are you going to build yourself up in faith, but also you're going to become familiar with his voice. The more of his word that you get in you, you'll be able to have more of a conversation with him. See, a lot of people think that having a conversation with God is just praying and walking away. You know, it's important to pray, but it's really important to listen. Yeah, I would say even more important. You know, you can pray, but if you're not listening, how do you expect to get an answer to your prayer? You really can't ask Jesus to guide you through the day. You can ask Holy Spirit to teach you through the day and lead you and get you in certain places. But if you're not familiar with his voice, you're not going to know it. And I've seen a lot of people struggle with this. And they'd say, I know I heard from God. And they go about to do something and say, well, what did he say? And they'd tell me something, I'd say, how does that agree with the word? Well, I know it's not in the Bible, but he told me. And I said, no. Somebody told you something, but it wasn't God. See, what happens a lot of times is people want to somehow bend God to suit their desires. They want maybe God to bend his word to suit their own desires. And he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. You know, he said, we're washed by the water of the word. And that, what that does, that changes us. You know, God doesn't need changed. He doesn't need changed. We need changed. And the way we do that is by the word. We get his word in us. And it changes little by little, by grace. Now, unfortunately, people want these spiritual experiences. You know, they want a burning bush moment. They want to see something dramatic, and they know they hear God's voice. You know, the prophet Samuel, when he was just a little boy, he got sent to the high priest. And he was in bed, and God spoke to him, and Samuel got up, went over to Eli, and said, here am I. And Samuel said, Eli said, I didn't call you. He said, go back to bed. So Samuel went back to bed, and he heard that voice again. He ran over to Eli, and he said, here am I. And then Eli said, no, son, you're hearing from God. So you go back to bed, and you listen to what God says, and then you come tell me. Well, Samuel, his first prophecy to the high priest. But it took him a little while to learn that voice, didn't it? And it was quiet. See, Eli didn't hear it. He just heard it softly. That means you're going to have to get still and quiet. You know, that doesn't mean that you can't hear from God while you're busy and going about your day. You can. You can certainly hear from God. But it's important for us from time to time to just get still and quiet. Have you ever noticed where you struggled with something for a long time and maybe you lost something or you're trying to figure something out and you just can't get it, and you've worked at it, you've studied it, you wrote it out on paper, you've asked questions, you've talked to professional people, and you didn't get what you felt was the right answer, and then all of a sudden at 3 o'clock in the morning you wake up and you got your answer? Because you got still and quiet. So God could talk to you in a clear voice. There's a lot of confusion in this world. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people with credentials that are saying a lot of stuff. And this is important. You need to sort this out. Just because somebody has credentials doesn't mean they have credibility. See, if you're confused about this, look at the mainstream media. Those guys have credentials, but they don't have any credibility. They have proven that time and time again. Look at most of the politicians. They have credentials, but they don't have credibility. See, it's important. Just because somebody with a title or some kind of authority says something doesn't mean you got to take it hook, line, and sinker. See, we have to be awake, and the world needs to wake up to this fact too, because there's people. I was really worried for a long time during the COVID outbreak. I thought, man, if these guys roll in here with the bus and tell these people they're going to jump on, they're going to take them to a safe place, we would have lost a couple hundred people in one fell swoop. I think they were dumb enough to just jump on that bus and go to a safe place. Because somebody with credentials showed up and said, I know what's best for you. Go to John chapter 10, and this is going to help clear things up. Jesus said, verily, verily, in verse 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by a name, and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spoke unto them, but they did not understand what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, there's whole big churches that have Sunday service every Sunday morning, and people by the thousands go to these services. And they never, ever hear an altar call. They never hear the, they're never taught about salvation. These are churchgoers. They're not born again. They're being led by a pastor that is not born again. See, they don't know the voice of Jesus. And it's that. And you try to tell them about Jesus and they get fighting mad. They're, well, we have our ways. Yeah, you have one way to hell. And there's one way to heaven. That one way to heaven is through Jesus. Like a really, really, really good friend of mine was a lifelong Methodist. And she had been going to this Methodist church for 30 years, maybe 40. And then her friend, she met a lady that was Assembly of God. And so she got her to going to the Assembly of God church. And my friend was a pastor there. And he was telling them some different stuff than what they had heard. So then they were, she wasn't real sure. So one day they asked my friend, said, what do you think about this? He said, well, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? I said, well, go ask your pastor down at that other church. Ask him if he knows for sure he's going to go to heaven. So they ran down there and they asked him, said, do you know for sure if you're going to go to heaven or not? He said, well, nobody knows that. They went, ran right back up to the Assembly of God church, got born again. Praise God. See, not everybody in church, in the church building, belongs to God. The church is the body of Christ. That's every born again believer. Regardless what denomination they belong to, if they're born again, they belong to the body of Christ. And these buildings are just places that we go to worship and learn. It's for the equipping of the saints. But see, the important thing Jesus is telling us, that we can hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Now, if you're not familiar with the Word of God, and you're not familiar with what he says, you're not going to be familiar with his voice. And this is the cool thing. His voice is going to sound like you. You know, my friend come up to me one day and he said, I heard God's voice. I said, that's cool. And he said, and he kept talking. I said, tell me about it. So he told me about going into this nursing home and said he got in there and he said that God said, I'm glad you're here, Jeff. And he kept going and he just kept talking about it and kept looking at me and he was expecting me to say something. And then I said, okay, it sounded just like your voice, didn't it? And he said, yeah, how'd you know? Well, here's the thing. If he talked to you in Charlton Heston's voice, we'd probably have to chase you for 100 miles to get you stopped. Because you're not familiar with that voice, are you? He's going to talk to you in a familiar way. And this is where people get confused. A lot of times they think, oh, it was just me. No, no. No. A lot of people have dismissed what God said to them, thinking it was just them. That still, quiet, peaceful voice inside of you, that's God. Down here in verse 7, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I deal with this all the time. You know, people think because they go to church or went to church that they're okay. That's so untrue. You know, a man that has never set foot in the church can be born again. And there's people that have sat in church for 30 or 40 years that aren't born again. Jesus said that a man must be born again. Now that's getting in through the door. That, praise God, that's important. But here's the thing. You need to go a little farther. See, there is some obedience involved too. You know, he did say to go get baptized, didn't he? Doesn't the Bible say to get baptized? Of course it does. One missionary that was going over to Africa all the time said he could go over there, have these meetings, and get people born again all day long. And there was witch doctors that would set up right outside his meetings, and set out under a tree and hang bones from the tree and do all the weird stuff and have fires and chants. He said he could get people born again all day long, and the witch doctors didn't care at all. Didn't care. But he said when he started taking people to get water baptized, they would go absolutely crazy. Why? Well, you know, born again people can be manipulated and controlled. But when they take that first step of obedience and go do something that God told them to do and they go get water baptized, then they know they're losing ground on this guy. Because they're going to take another step of obedience. You know, they might get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, they might actually pick up the Bible and learn what they have. You know, Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. But if you don't know the truth, you're bound. You see, there's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of good-hearted Christians that are held captive in some area because they don't know the truth. They believe the doctrine of men over what the Word of God says. See, Jesus warned us about that. He said the traditions of your forefathers have made the Word of God to none effect. See, and they go to church every Sunday and they wonder why things don't work out for them because they're not getting the full thing. You know, there's so many different combinations of things that are going on in the church right now. So, I don't, you know, it's going to take a little bit to get it cleaned up. But Jesus is going to clean it up. And every single denomination on the face of this planet is going to have a reckoning. There's going to be a sifting. There's going to be a cleaning up. The Bible tells us that we are going to come together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine, the unity of our faith. And every single denomination, even the non-denominational ones, are going to get shook up. There's going to be a cleaning period. See, Jesus is going to wash us with the water of His Word. And one day, His Word is going to be completely imminent on this earth. His will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. See, Jesus told us that we would know his voice and the voice of a stranger we would not follow. You know, I had read that quite a few times. And I just, you know, I'm a kind of a picture person. I learned by seeing stuff. You know, sometimes it does my sister crazy, you know, because she could just tell me something that might rattle around in my brain a little bit. But if I'd seen a picture of it, seen an illustration, and then I could put understanding to that, then I'd have it. And it just drive her nuts. So I just told you that. And I said, whatever. It bounced off my forehead. But I seen it. Now I got it. She's a PhD. I'm not. But he said, my sheep would know my voice and the voice of a stranger they would not follow. I was watching a video. Some people went to Israel. And they were videoing these things. And all of a sudden, I seen this shepherd. And I've worked a lot of sheep. And I've pushed a lot of sheep around. And I seen this shepherd with his staff. He's walking down this street. And there's cars honking. There's cars all over the place. And people walking. And his sheep were following him through this crowded street, going wherever he was going. There were people talking, but they didn't follow other voices. They followed the voice of his shepherd. See, evidently in Israel, they had these sheep motels, and they'd come up there, and the shepherd would sleep in the doorway. They'd put these sheep inside these barns, and then whenever the shepherd needed his sheep, he'd call his sheep out by name. His sheep. There was other people's sheep in there, but his sheep would come out and he'd take off walking and they'd follow him. Another shepherd would come up and call his sheep out by name. How about that? That's how our relationship, our fellowship with him needs to be too. See, the Bible tells us that as many that can expect to be the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. See, when we get to be a son of God, that means when we get born again, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, you could use this, you could picture this. People are like cars. If you have a car, you can expect to get in it and drive away, right? But what if you don't put any gas in that car? You're not going to get very far. People are the same way. When we get born again, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. But if we don't put the Word of God in us, it's going to be hard for us to be led by the Spirit of God because we're not going to know His voice. And this is why a lot of new Christians have a really, really hard time because they want something. You know, redemption is a messy process and it takes a while for people to get it sorted out. But they want something. And they ask God for it, and they pray to God for it, and they want it so bad, they might even lay out a fleece. I had a lady tell me one time, lay a fleece out, God honors that. You don't have any business putting any fleeces out. See, Satan knows how to put fleeces out too. And Satan will put something so shiny and so wonderful in front of you and make you think that it's God talking to you. He's had a lot of practice dealing with people. He's had thousands of years. He knows how to manipulate people. He knows what people want. You know, he's not going to bring a chuck steak to you. He's going to bring a filet mignon or prime rib. He's going to make something, he's going to make it look really good. And if we don't have God's word in us, we're not going to be able to hear him. We may get confused, get him confused with Satan. That happens. That happens all the time to people. And people really, really want something really, really bad. They get a lot of different voices going around upstairs. And it takes a while to get them sorted out. You know, I told one guy yesterday, you know, or even today, I was talking to him, and he said, well, what do you come up with for an idea? And I said, oh, the knee-jerk reactions aren't for me. He said, I'm going to have some time to process what God wants me to do. He said, okay. So, getting in a hurry, see, we always want what we want when we want it. We want it right now. Bible tells us to let patience have her perfect work. You know, sometimes God wants us to set tight because we don't know everything. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. We don't know everything. And maybe God knows exactly what's going on. He does know exactly what's going on. And he knows, maybe he knows something better for you around the corner. Or maybe he's got a plan that he's trying to get through your head, into your heart, so you understand exactly how he wants you to do it. One of the things I noticed in Word of Faith circles is people get in there and they start hearing the Word of Faith and they wanted everybody to think that they were really catching on to the Word of Faith. And so after a while, you'd see them, they'd show up with a brand new pickup, you know, or whatever. You know, something brand new. They wanted everybody to see how blessed they were. They wanted everybody to see, you know, the Word of Faith is working on me. Well, how much did you borrow to get that pickup? See, God, when God gives you something, it doesn't cost you anything. There's nothing wrong with having a new pickup, but just understand this. You've tied yourself down to the point where you're not going to be able to hit the mission field if you have to. There's people that really miss out on a lot of opportunities to go be used by God because they have a mortgage, they have pickup payment, they have a car payment, they have kids this, they have kids that, they have all this and all that. And they're so in debt that they can't afford to take time off. That's not God's design for them. One thing that I learned a lot when I was in Mexico, I seen these guys, they had little tiny houses and then you'd see where they added on to it here, and then they added on to it here, and then they added on to it here. But every time they added on to it, they paid cash for it. In America, we get taught to go buy a $500,000 house and make payments on it for 40 or 50 years, you know. And live our lives in debt. What would be wrong with just getting something that you could pay for real easy and then saving your money to do that? That would be wisdom from God. I knew a guy that was very rich. He was a millionaire. But I had watched him, I had known him for a long time, and he always drove an old pickup, had all working clothes on all the time. And one day my brother said, yeah, he's a millionaire. and said, how did that happen? Look at him. He said that he's a millionaire because that. He's never borrowed a dime to buy a vehicle. He's always paid cash for every single vehicle he's ever had. See, there's wisdom in God's system when we just take the time to learn it and listen to His Word. It would really put us ahead of where we think we need to be. But we have to take that time to listen to Him and not the world. The world has a lot of different voices out there. And there's people listening to that all the time. And then you try to talk to them about the basics of God's Word and try to tell them, and they just freak out. Some of them confess to be Christians. You know, it's like, no, you got to calm down. So, but don't you think this is the end of the world? Who cares? What are you going to do about it if it's the end of the world? Your life should be wrapped up in Christ. Now, one lady said, I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear your life? She professes to be a Christian. So you don't want to hear that your life is wrapped up in Christ? You're going to be all right? Made her mad. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. And Father, we thank you that we hear your voice, the voice of a stranger we will not follow. We thank you that because of your word in our hearts, we know you and we know the truth and we'll be led by you. And we know that we can follow peace. And peace is where you're at. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.